Bobby? The voice said, and there was a kind of insinuate pleasure in the voice, a sensuous recognition. Bobby, it said again, this time without the question mark. The flecks began to stream across Bobby's vision. The living room of the apartment suddenly filled with black snow. Please. Bobby whispered. He gathered all of his will and forced himself to finish. Please let him go. No can do, the voice from the void told him. He belongs to the king. Stay away, Bobby. Don't interfere. Ted's our dog. If you don't want to be our dog, too, stay away. Click. Bobby held the telephone to his ear a moment longer, needing to tremble and too cold to do it. The itching behind his eyes began to fade, though, and the threads falling across his vision began to merge into the general murk. At last he took the phone away from the side of his head, started to put it down, then paused. There were dozens of little red circles on the handset's perforated earpiece. It was as if the voice of the thing on the other end had caused the telephone to bleed. Panting in soft and rapid little whimpers, Bobby put it back in its cradle and went into his room. Don't interfere, the man at the Sagamore family number had told him. Ted's our dog. But Ted wasn't a dog. He was a man, and he was Bobby's friend. She could have told them where he'll be tonight, Bobby thought. I think Carol knew. If she did, and if she told Mom. Bobby grabbed the bike fund jar. He took all the money out of it and left the apartment. He considered leaving his mother a note, but didn't. She might call Housatonic 58337 again if he did and tell the Nimrod with a low voice what her Bobbio was doing. That was one reason for not leaving a note. The other was that if he could warn Ted in time, he'd go with him. Now Ted would have to let him come, and if the low men killed him or kidnapped him, well, those things were almost the same as running away, weren't they?